Is anyone going through stuff in their life? Go ahead, raise your hand. Going through stuff, anybody? Going through stuff. Sometimes it gets a little hard to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. It's tough to do when we're going through stuff. But it's the same reason every Wednesday at Ground Zero we say, tell us something great that's happened in the last week. Because it helps get us focused. And we have to acknowledge this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will make a choice to be glad in it. And it's hard to do, I know, when we're going through stuff. A lot of times, it's hard. And a lot of times it's hard to be here in church. I'm going through stuff. I don't feel like being there. It's important to be here for many different reasons. And that's not the message today. But I will tell you this. One of the reasons is a three chord is not easily broken. And when two show up, that's more powerful than one. But when we show up in a mass, that becomes a three chord and a three chord and a three chord and a three chord. And then all those start making a thicker chord and a thicker chord. And that's why it's important to be here. And it's important. That's why I think it's important to say, let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Because we have to remind ourselves. And sometimes we have to force ourselves. And sometimes people say, well, I'm going to fake it till I make it. Well, good deal. It is important versus just giving up. It's important not to give up. We may feel defeated, but as Kisha said already in church this morning, we're not defeated. I refuse to accept the reality that says you are defeated. I am defeated. I get the feeling that we may feel that way sometimes. But I refuse to accept the reality that I am or that you are defeated. Amen? None of us is defeated. We are overcomers. We're overcomers. We have a loving God. And He shows us and showers us with His grace and His mercy every single day. Sometimes without recognition. And I don't mean we don't acknowledge Him. There's definitely that. I mean we don't even see it or know it. Sometimes not till years later. Kisha asked, does someone need some wisdom today? Yeah, we need wisdom. But sometimes it just doesn't come till years later. We go, oh my goodness, I remember that moment 20 years ago. I remember that moment 30 years ago. Ooh. Lord, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Because man, I wouldn't be anywhere near the person I am today had you not shown me that grace and mercy. Young people, we have to recognize that early on. Learn to recognize God's grace and mercy in our lives, even at this young age. Sometimes we don't understand the concept of grace and mercy. And then people that are older than our young people, the same thing. The same thing. Hebrews says, man, I used to be as a child and I thought as a child. He says, now I am a man and I think like a man. And it's time for us to mature and move on. Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 through 21. And then we're going to get off into the book of Romans chapter 8 for the message today. But the Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah 30. Verses 18 through 21. And I want you to listen carefully. It says, therefore the Lord will wait. That's right. He'll wait. Therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. And therefore He will be exalted. God. I wish Kisha was still here. She's still here. She left already. She's gone bye-bye. Okay, I knew she was leaving. But man, she had church today, didn't she? And it was powerful. It was a powerful word. And man, I'm caught up in that still. But it says, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. And therefore He will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Some of you have waited. And you have waited, and you have waited, and you have waited. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. He wants to hear you cry out, church. When he hears it, he will answer it. And he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you, listen carefully, though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. This is really why I brought this additional Bible. I want to read what it says. It's just slightly different wording that sometimes helps bring it home. And it says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him, so he can show you his love and compassion. Church, sometimes we wait on the Lord, and he's waiting on us to come to him so that he can show us and shower us with his love and his compassion. Amen? Amen? All right, thank you. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. We get in such a hurry, we refuse sometimes to wait for his help. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes, and your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether you go to the left or to the right. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. When we want to rejoice, but we just don't feel like it because we're going through stuff. Today's message is for you. It's for you today. When we listen to these things, it says we wait on him sometimes, but he's standing over there watching us, just waiting patiently. And it says he's waiting for us to cry out to him, and he's waiting for us to go to him. And then we have to wait for his help. My heading in this book says, said God will be gracious over that scripture in Isaiah. God will be gracious. And we have to know that that's coming in our own lives. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, if you would. As we're going there, I'm going to read a few things. But when we're living and our diet and our life consists of adversity, affliction, suffering, he is still with you. He says, you will see the teacher with your own eyes and you will hear the teacher with your own ears. But we can't neglect the very end of that said, this is the way. Walk in it. Pastor Eric said last week, we can't just visit the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's not enough to make a visit. How's it going? Just want to stop and say hi. Hope you're having a great day, Holy Spirit. I'll see you later. I'm doing good and move on. He says, man, if you live in the Spirit, you got to walk in the Spirit. You can't just have a casual relationship with the Spirit. I'm telling you today, Romans 8 is a powerful, powerful scripture. But today, guess what's available to all of you? salvation. His grace and mercy makes it available to all. Healing is available to you today. Restoration is available to you today. Comfort is available to you today. Victory is available to you today. You don't have to be defeated by the things you're going through. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, starting verse 18 through the end of the chapter. And again, my heading says, from suffering to glory. You may have headings that say something very similar. From suffering to glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. He acknowledges right out of the gate, hey, this isn't anything. Man, we're getting ready to see a glory that will be revealed to us that we couldn't even imagine. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. As I was studying for this last several weeks, that stood out to me. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. In Ground Zero this past week, Josh was teaching a lesson, and he said, people listen eagerly and intently to the word. And then guess what they did when they went out the rest of the week? They went through the word and they studied it and said, does this line up with what the person taught us? But it said they eagerly did that. Went and listened to the word and then went out the rest of the week and studied that word and compared it and said, does that line up with the scriptures? That helps us know when there's false teachers. That helps us know when we're simply mistaken or that others are mistaken. But I love that word eagerly. Eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Okay, it goes on and on and on. Adam, let's get from suffering to glory, because that's really what I want to hear. I want to hear the secret. You ever get through those commercials and you say, oh, how to lose 20 pounds in 5 days? Yes. Oh, my gosh. The reading goes on. Why don't they just reveal the secret to me right out of the gate? Stop eating the way you do. Get off the sofa. You know, boom. Put it right in the beginning. Now, there's probably a plan you have to buy or sign up for. Please submit your email and, whoo, you're on your way to glory. I don't want to do that. I just want the answer. So we think, from suffering to glory. Okay, let me go to the last verse. Does it say there? Sometimes we have to go through it to get the answer. And sometimes that's a little bit of suffering. I can't eat all those foods I like. I can't just sit there and watch TV all day after I've eaten. It tells me I've got to get up and do some things. It goes on to say, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. It says they can't wait. They're eager again. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Is that making sense? Hope that is not seen is not hope. Like saying, Adonijah, I hope you show up today. Well, I'm seeing him. There's no hope in that. He's here. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And I love that. We eagerly await for the things we hope for that we do not see. Who's that? And Adonijah going to show up today? Yeah, he's sitting right there. Quit hoping for that. Okay. Hope for the things that you cannot see and eagerly await for that. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, plural.
For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God for the Holy Spirit stepping in to help us. Intercessory prayer by the Holy Spirit because of things that we can't utter. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now I've said it before, a lot of times people say that when there's death, when there's tragedy. And I was studying on mourning and different things some years ago. They said, people love this scripture. Well, we know all things work together for good to those who love God. What does that mean? You see, I don't like these circumstances I'm in. What does that mean? That means somebody who wasn't going through it at the time said that. And we say those things to mean well. But sometimes it just hurts people or it enrages them. They're like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Maybe true. It's in Scripture, so it is true. But I'm saying that sometimes these things are hard for us to accept. Verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to His image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we have multiple places they say, hey, I made you in My image. By the way, I predestined you. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these also are glorified. Now it says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, here we go. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I know right now a lot of you are going, hang on, I've got a list of people that are against me. Okay, that's who can be against me. But listen to this. He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Yes, He went to the cross. He was beaten, hung on a cross. He was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day again, He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. There He sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Okay, He didn't spare His Son. He delivered His Son for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. I skipped a sentence there. I'm sorry. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Uh-oh. Another one. Now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Hang on, Adam. Let me make a list of people trying to. Oh, not as many people, but maybe circumstances are trying to separate me from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress separate me from the love of Christ? What about persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Shall those separate me from the love of Christ? For it was written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But listen to this. Yet in all these things, that means all the, remember, stuff we're all going through, There are hands up all over this place. Yet in all these things that we're all going through, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, things that aren't even here yet, for things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God outside of ourselves. None of these things, none of our circumstances can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has all these things available to us. But circumstances, Adam, circumstances are in the way. They may be. Circumstances come and circumstances go. But all circumstances are temporary. Now, what does that mean? It could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months. Temporary could be years. But it's temporary. That means we will get through it. We will come through it, and we will be overcomers, and we will be victorious on the other end of it. Those things we know. Those things we know to be true. Now, if you flip back a couple chapters, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Man, I love that. It already says right there, boom, justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, some of you may say, I don't have peace in my life. But it says you have peace with God. So now there's an issue standing between you and God that's causing that peace not to go down through your life. But it says you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have access by faith into this grace also. His grace and mercy comes through our faith. And not only that, in verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Uh-oh. I had a tribulation. I don't recall glorying in it. I was kind of struggling through it. Maybe even suffered a little bit through it. Sometimes we get angry at our tribulation. But right here it says, oh no, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Maybe we have some work to do from where we are in our faith walk. It says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Okay, we've got some work to do. And once it produces perseverance, that produces character. Oh no, now we have some character issues we have to look at. And once it produces character, hope. It says new hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So those are the times we can stand there and say, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I can do that because I have practiced, I have worked on, I have encountered the Holy Spirit. I have talked to God. He has revealed where I stand in His presence. Oh, and it wasn't as close as I thought I was standing to Him in His presence. But He revealed that to me. Faith triumphs in times of trouble. We can glory in that. You know, James chapter 1. I love the book of James. And it says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, come on, man. What is with these scriptures constantly telling us, hey, it's all part of life. Trials and tribulation. Things you're going through. Count it all joy. Oh, I can glory in my trials. Who were these guys? I mean, could 12 of us do that? Could we say that, man? Hey, church, let's count it all joy when you go through stuff. But it goes to our walk with God and where we are with Him. And where we are with the scriptures, that we know that, and we constantly get to remind ourselves that He is full of grace and He is full of mercy. Oh, by the way, He loves you. He loves each and every one of you dearly. And by the way, He knows what you're going through. But He wants you to stand strong and boast in Him and who and what He is. You can boast in being an overcomer by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your own efforts. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, dang, the fruit of the Spirit's popped out there. Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Oh, praise God. I want to lack nothing. I lack a closer walk with Him when I struggle with those things. That was James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. And then when we look at verse 12 of chapter 1 in James, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, trials, and tribulation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about the perishable crown, and the victors in the athletic competitions get a crown. But it goes away quickly. Their victory is soon forgotten. People don't remember them. But we read about an imperishable crown we get when we run our race with intention. When we say, I'm running to be a winner here. And by the way, we're all running different races. David, I'm not competing in your race with you. I'm a far cry behind that. Okay, you're much faster than I am, obviously. Corey, you are too. So is Christian. And I'm sure, well, probably about every other one of you is faster than me. But I can go forever. Oh, found it funny. That lady sitting over there, my beautiful wife, she knows how I run. It's not pretty. But I can endure. And I can run for long periods of time. It takes me longer to get there, but I can endure. But this said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, trials, tribulations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. We get that imperishable crown. And I'm telling you, for those of us that love Him and receive that imperishable crown, that's part of His grace and mercy He's showering on us. He pours it out on us. I'm trying to tie in some different scriptures that talk about this, because it's a repetitive theme in the New Testament that says, man, it's okay to be going through this stuff. It's not only okay, but you should glory in it. And you should take joy in it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials.
Here we've got another writer. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. But it says, for a little while, again, it's temporary. For a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We talked a couple weeks ago also about all our works. And what will that say about our life and our faith walk? Because I don't want to be hay, and I don't want to be straw and stubble that just burns up in the fire. I don't want that to be my work, and I don't want that to be my life. It's like flash paper that magicians use. And it's gone. There's nothing left over. Versus the gold that goes through the fire, that refines the things, pulls out the impurities. And then at the end, leaves the precious metal. That's what I want our lives to be. When we face judgment day and our work and our life goes through the fire, will it just be nothing but a pile of little bitty dust? Or there'll be something precious behind? God says, man, that's what I'm talking about. Let me skim the top, remove the impurities, and burn those off. And that's sometimes the struggles that we go through. Let me burn that stuff off. But the strength and the solidity of our faith is exposed in and through the trials that we go through, is it not? The strength of our faith is exposed when we go through things. I knew that God wasn't much good, and He let me go through this. I know God is good. I'm going through this, but He still has hold of me. And by the way, I'm ready to collapse on the ground, but He's holding me up. So I know my God is with me. And I know He's staying strong. I know He holds me up. I know that He is a gracious and merciful God. I know that He has me. I know that salvation is available to me. Oh, you haven't seen salvation? Let me tell you about it, because He allowed me. And let me tell you where I've come from. And if He can love and accept a sinner like me, I know He can love and accept a sinner like you. Oh, He doesn't use the same scales we use to judge that stuff. You see, here's the beauty. When we come before Christ and ask Him to enter our life and be the Lord of our life, He takes that past. You know, the song that said we don't have to hang on to that. You don't have to be afraid to let the past go. He takes that and He removes it. And He removes the spots. And He removes the stains. He said, man, by the blood I shed on the cross, I forgive you. You want me to be Lord of your life? Come on, welcome to my family. You are now part of the heirs of what I have to offer. He says, you don't have to worry about the circumstances that I'm going to take you through. Did you catch that? He said, you don't have to worry about the circumstances that I'm going to take you through. Because He says, you know what? I'm the one taking you through it. Remember the guys that went through the fiery furnace? He says, I'm the one that took them through it. I'm the one that made sure when they went through it that they didn't get burned. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them either. And he says, when you go through the fiery furnace, I'm taking you through it. And I'm going through it with you. And I'm going to make sure you don't get burned. And I'm going to make sure that you don't have the smell of smoke around you. I'm not telling you you're not going to get thrown in the furnace. And they're not going to rough you up a little bit getting you there. He says, but I'm the one taking you there. I'm there for you and I'm there with you. Now let me see a show of hands again. Who all is going through some stuff today? Big or small, raise your hands high. Let's be accountable to one another and to God. We all have our different levels of stuff. And it's important and it's big in varying degrees to us. Right? I love this church body. I told you 2 weeks ago, Eric and I are entering into our 11th year of leading this church body since it was founded. And I love this church family. I love this church body. I love every one of you. And I want us to be here for one another. And I want us to pray for one another. And I want us to lift one another up. He says, I'm going to take you through some stuff. He says, salvation is available because of my grace and mercy on mankind. He says, healing is available for the brokenhearted. Healing is available for the afflicted. Healing is available for relationships. Restoration is available for relationships. Restoration is available with your relationship with Christ. You think He forgot your face? You think He forgot what you look like? He says, welcome back, Adam. Welcome back, Cindy. God, I know it's been a long time. I didn't think You'd recognize me. You ought to see when He pulls out His wallet and His family portraits. It goes on forever because He remembers and knows everybody. Comfort is available to you. Oh, by the way, there's some overcomers in this church that have been through stuff, that can get through stuff, that now are able to comfort others. The scriptures tell us about that. You can now go comfort other people because you've been through it. And you came out an overcomer. And victory is available today. Those of you that feel defeated, you are not. Those that feel lost, you are not. You're just looking the wrong way. You've got to refocus. But these things are available today. I want us to start claiming truths and not just hoping for things. I want us to claim truth in this church. I want us to get to know the scriptures and stand on those scriptures. I want us to take back things that the enemy has taken from us by knowing the scriptures and declaring those things over the enemy. Amen? Because we are overcomers. We are victors. We are champions. We can be restored. We can overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. What we're going to do right now, we're not going to sing a song at the end, but we're going to have an opportunity to pray for one another and just pray for things that you're going through. Susie is going to come up. She's going to play some beautiful music. We already know that. She's an amazing woman. The Lord has blessed her and blessed our church with her talents. And that ministers to me in such a powerful way. And I want it to minister to you today. So I'm going to close this out in prayer first, and then we'll have an opportunity to continue to pray for one another. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the scriptures today. Lord, I thank You
for the scriptures that declare you can turn our lives around. I love the scriptures that say you will show us your great mercy. Your grace and your compassion. But Lord, your scriptures also say you're waiting on us to come to you. You're waiting on us to cry out to you. Lord, I know today there are people that are afraid just to cry out to you. Maybe they're just not bold enough. Maybe they don't have the humility to do that. Maybe it's a pride issue. But I pray today, Lord, that we cry out to you. God, today I open these altars for anyone needing healing, anybody needing restoration, any of those that are going through trials and tribulations. Would you do me a favor? If you're physically able to, I want you to come to the altars this morning so that we can pray over you, so that we can pray over one another. I don't want you to be held back by anything. Say, no, I'm okay. Healing, restoration, physical healing, brokenhearted healing, whatever it is, relationships, go ahead and come forward. Let us pray for you. This is prayer of faith. Young people that raise your hands, come on up. Let us pray over you. Just come silently pray. Just fill this altar. Come up, church. The altar's open. Come on up, church. Let us pray for you. You pray for yourself. Just come up and pray to God. And then little by little, we will minister to one another. And we'll pray over you. But let's start being the church body that prays for one another. That prays to you. That calls out your name. This is the place to do it, church. Church, would you come forward now to the altars? It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of struggles that you can't get through. It's just saying, Lord, I want other people to pray for me.